Let's turn over to Mark 11. Mark 11, 22. I think we're going to read some verses before that. All right, we're going to talk about faith and doubt today and where that enters in. And just really, just in the whole process, when you're standing for something, when you're believing for something, when you've given the command, you know, if you prayed, that process, from the time you speak it and you give the command to there it is, in that process, because so many times I think we can get stolen from because of doubt, because we've taken our eyes off it. And Satan is a liar. Satan does not have any power over us. You realize that. His power is broken because Jesus broke it. We were in mankind. We were under the influence of Satan. Everyone has yielded to that influence. And because of, Adam was given dominion. We're not going to go into all that. But Adam was given dominion over this earth and he yielded to Satan. So Satan had a legal right to dominate man. But Jesus came as a new man. He came as a man. So he had authority in the earth and he broke that power. And so we are born again into a new family. So we're no longer under that other family. So Satan has no authority over us now. None. None. But he still talks. And he'll try to convince you he does. Okay? He's a liar. I mean, we've talked about that before. He is a liar. He's a deceiver. So he's going to yap. He's going to try to make you think. And he is the God of this world. So he does have control over something because men have yielded to him. So that's how he has power. But he has, he doesn't have any power over us because we're in the family of God Almighty. But he will try to make you think he does. And that's all he has. You have the authority. You have the command. If you say something and you believe God, that's the way it's got to be, unless you revoke the command. Unless he can convince you that you don't have it. And that's what he does. He's a deceiver. How does he do that? Circumstance, thoughts, things going on. All the time. You pray. This is where people miss it a lot of times. Is because we give the command and then people say, well, it didn't work. It didn't look like it changed. And so what do? Well, we back off. That's exactly what his tactic is. That's called doubt. That's called waffling. But if we give it, he has to yield. There is no if, and, but, or not. He has to. Has to. Has to. It's a law. It's a law. He doesn't have any authority. Hallelujah. He doesn't have any authority. So when we pray, when we believe, when we speak, it has to happen unless we revoke the command, unless we yield. Thank you, Lord. It's the same thing. There are laws in this land. Don't you know that there are lawbreakers in this land? What is the police force's job? To enforce the law. Okay? If somebody comes and tries to do something on your property that's against the law, they cannot legally do that unless you let them. But if you enforce the law, they gotta go. But if they convince you through some smooth talking that they have a right to be there and you let them, guess what? They'll stay. So we have to know what's ours and we have to stand by and just believe it. Thank you, Lord. So let's go back. This is where Jesus has spoken to a fig tree. Now let's read back in Mark 11, chapter 12. Mark 11, verse 12. It says, now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, Jesus and his disciples, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. Okay? So he told the fig tree, you're done. nobody is ever going to eat from you again. Now, they go into Jerusalem. Now when evening, verse 19, when evening had come, they went out of the city. So they're on their way into Jerusalem. They Jesus cursed the fig tree. They took care of some business. In the evening, they left. So now it's the next morning, verse 20. Now in the morning, now they're going back. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain," must have been looking off to the side, you know, at a mountain there. Not huge mountains, but there's mountains there. "Be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." So what did he say in verse 23? "For assuredly I say to you." Now this got brought up because of the fig tree. So that's what he's talking about. Peter asked him about it. And so he's teaching on that. Verse 22, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Now, break it down. He says, if you say, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain," or he just said to this fig tree, he told the fig tree, "You're done. You're cursed. You're not, nobody's going to eat fruit of you anymore." He says, "If you say, be removed and be cast in the sea," or "be cursed," or "sickness, go in the name of Jesus," and does not doubt in his heart. Does not doubt in his heart. Doesn't doubt in his heart. He doesn't get off. He doesn't recant. He doesn't say, "Well, maybe it won't work. Maybe I don't have the authority. Well, look at how bad the symptoms are. I gave the command and everything got worse. Well, I guess it just doesn't work." That's doubting. That's why do we usually doubt? Because we're being lied to. Because the devil is telling us a lie. Through circumstances, through whatever, feelings, your body's telling you something, but it's a smokescreen. So it causes you, if you're not careful, to doubt. And when we doubt, we're waffling. I read this to you before, but I'm going to read just this definition of doubting. The word connotes a conflict within oneself, the sense of hesitating, having misgivings. I thought it was going to work, but it's not working. Doubting, being divided in decision making, wavering between hope and fear. See, he said, if you say to the mountain, "Be removed and be cast into the sea," and do not doubt, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Do you see the tenses? If you say to the mountain, "Be removed and be cast in the sea," and shall not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things you say shall come to pass, then you shall have whatever you say, if you don't doubt. Now, is that some kind of law to condemn you? No, you have it. We have it. If it's based on the word, it's ours. The only way it cannot be ours is if we let it go. How does that happen? We got tricked out of it. So we let it go. Do you see that? It's we cannot lose if we don't give up. If we refuse to change, the devil has to move out of the way. Has to. He has to. Because we have authority over him. Jesus himself said, now look back at the example. Jesus cursed that fig tree. Most people would say, That thing should happen. That they should have said, Peter shouldn't be asking that question the next day. He should have been saying, wow, the thing dried up. Wow, that was cool. But that's not what happened. They went into Jerusalem. And evidently, I don't know if they went a different way, but they came back that night. So they may have passed it that night. But evidently, if they did, the Bible doesn't say one way or another. They may have passed it, they may not have. So we don't know if anything had happened by then or not. But in the morning, something had happened. See, Jesus knew when he was on the earth, that his word meant something. Anything. He means the king of the universe. So he spoke and it happened. It's the same with us because he told us that's the way it is. He said, if we say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and do not doubt in our heart, but believe that those things that we say will be done, we will have whatever we say. Verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. See, that's faith. When we believe, we receive when we don't see. When you say and you believe, what you say will be done. That's faith because you don't see it. So don't doubt. That's my message to you today. Don't doubt. It's not a decision. It's not something you have to work up. Well, I'm just not going to doubt. Just refuse to give in to the smoke and mirrors. Everything in physical is subject to change. It is. It is. It is. Well, you already have it. You already have the symptoms. You already have it. It's too late. Have you ever heard that? It's too late to change. No, it's not. That's a lie. Who do you think's telling you that? Some little imp sent by the devil? We probably don't deal with the devil himself too often. You probably deal with a subordinate. Imagine the chaos that's in that realm. They all are liars. Did you go do the job? Yeah, I did it. It's all done, sir. They can't believe in any. It's just a bunch of liars talking to each other. There's no chain of command. I mean, it's got to be chaos. No. Don't listen to those things. Those are all lies. Well, it's just not working for you. Lie. Who said? Who said? Who said that? It's a good question to ask yourself. Whenever you hear something in your head, ask, who said that? Because it just didn't get in there. Either it was somebody said to you, repeating, which could have been inspired by the enemy. It's the enemy himself talking to you. It's your brain repeating something that he said before, if it's evil. Ask yourself, who said that? And if it doesn't, would God, ask yourself, would God say that? Is God the one that's saying it's not working? Was that God? No. Okay, what are my other choices? Well, there is an enemy. There is an enemy. And he is trying to get you to relinquish your command, to relinquish your faith, to give it up, to doubt. Well, I just don't know. To be divided between two. That's what he's trying to do. Make no mistake. He is scared of you. He's scared of me. The more you know the Word of God, know your authority. The fact is, Christians are walking around everywhere. They don't know what they have. And we're getting to know what we have in the earth. I believe it. People have said it over and over, and it's coming to where the Christianity is coming to where we're walking in the authority on this earth the way we ought to. But we walk around, and it's like we get pushed around, and we have this authority. It's the same thing. You know that in the natural. If we don't know our rights in this country, we can get pushed around. But if you know your rights and you know what the law says, do you realize no police officer can push you around? He can only enforce the law. He doesn't make the laws. He enforces them. So he goes outside that and you know he can't do anything. He cannot. A good police officer knows the laws and he knows where his power. He doesn't have power himself. He has authority. So he's been given things. Satan knows he doesn't have any authority of it over us. All he can do is make us relinquish ours. So we don't need to doubt ever. Ever. Don't doubt God's word. Don't doubt. The devil's trying to steal from you. When we hear those thoughts, we say, no, that's not God. I believe I'm going to stay the course. Yeah, but it's not working. Who said that? Who said it's not working? Who said the fig tree wasn't dying? Well, it doesn't look like it did anything, Master. Guess it worked, huh? They came back the next day. Now, another gospel says it dried up from the root immediately. Well, it probably started right then. It just took a little while to get out. To make no mistake, when you speak to something and tell it to go, in the authority that's been given to you in the Word of God, it's going. It's in the process of going. And somebody said this recently, Andrew Womack actually said, he said, don't be scared when it gets worse. He said, that's a good sign. I like that. Because you've seen it over and over in the Word where something happened. Jesus told the devil to come out and they'd throw the man down and they'd be writhing all over because he's coming out. When you pray and it gets worse, so what? That really is a lot of times where the devil's trying to make you shut up, trying to make you, boy, things were better before I prayed. I should just let it go. Why'd I try to do that? Now I got the devil mad. And we don't want to have that kind of attitude. I remember Brother Hagin said once, in one of his books, or he's probably said it in stories, but he said, you know, everybody was getting the flu or something around the ministers. Well, might as well just go ahead. And he was at some meeting, and people had started coming down with the flu, and this minister next to him said, well, I might as well just go home, get prepared to get the flu, because I'm going to get it. And Brother Hagin said, I'm not getting the flu. I'm not getting it. And the guy said, you better not say that too loud. You don't want the devil to hear you. And Brother Hagin said, that's exactly the dude I want to hear. I want him to hear it because he's not afraid. Brother Hagin knew who he was. Don't be scared of him. He's a liar. He's trying to get us to shut up. He'll try. See, all he does is he'll try to make a show to get you to shut up. Symptoms get worse. Oh, no. I better not do that. Boy, it's not working. No, that's him trying to be a bully. He's a bully. Bully. A lot of bullies. You know, they go and try to pick on a little kid, and the kid smacks him. Bully a lot of times won't mess with that kid anymore. He'll go mess with somebody else. He doesn't really want to fight. He doesn't really want to fight. He just wants to push everybody around. That's the way the devil is. He's a coward. So he tries to intimidate us. That's what he tries to do. He's a liar, though. He doesn't have any power to intimidate us. Let's turn over to Matthew 21. Hallelujah. Matthew 21. Matthew 21, 21. It's the same account. Actually, you can go back to verse 18. Matthew 21, 18. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Immediately the fig tree withered away. So maybe, you know, immediately something happened in that fig tree. Verse 20. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? Excuse me. So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Same thing. If you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, it will be done. It will be. It will be. It will be. It will be. Thank you, Lord. We just don't doubt. Turn over back a few verses real quick, or a few chapters, to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, 7. It says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened to you. Ask, and it will be given to you. Ask, and it will be given to you. Jesus didn't say if and but. He said, except doubting. That's what he said. If you believe in your heart and do not doubt, then it will be done. That's what he said. If we believe. Let's turn over to Matthew 14. If we believe and do not doubt. Matthew 14, 22. So immediately, we're talking about doubting and how that will rob us. It tries to rob us of what we have coming to us. What is coming to us? If we take our eyes off the prize and say, well, yeah, I guess it didn't work, that's doubting. Don't doubt. Matthew 14, verse 22 says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke. To them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? So you look back in verse 27. Well, first of all, verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. So they're afraid at this point. And so immediately Jesus spoke to them and saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And so Peter got out of the boat, believed him, and started walking on the water. So he is walking on the water. This happened. The same people, you know, that wrote all these accounts about Jesus are telling us this man walked on the water. Number one, Jesus is walking on the water, but then Peter is walking towards him, going towards Jesus. This happened. The power of God is holding Peter up, and he is doing the impossible. And so then he starts to look around. He is walking. He is doing what Jesus told him to do. He said, come. And so he is walking across the water. This is just like when you do what Jesus told you to do and you speak to the mountain. You speak to in your life to whatever is trying to obstruct you. Sickness tries to get on your body and you say, go. And so you're marching on. And Peter is walking on the water, and yet he starts looking around him at how bad the waves are and how bad the wind is and how bad everything is. And he says, then he cries out, verse 30, but when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. So he went back to being afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. So as long as he kept his eyes evidently on Jesus and just did what Jesus told him to do, he was fine. But when he got distracted, when he started looking around at the things around him, he started to doubt. How do we know he started to doubt? Because Jesus pulled him up and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why? Why? Because we know that the size of the waves has nothing to do with you walking on water. I can't walk across a swimming pool that's calm as glass. I'm going down the minute I put my foot in it. It does not matter whether it's a swimming pool or whether it's out in the Atlantic Ocean with huge waves. It does not matter because I can't walk on the water. Period. And so getting off onto these things. Let me tell you something. You in your own strength can't heal anything. But because of Jesus, we've been given authority over sickness. So without Jesus, you can command something to go all day and it won't do a bit of good. But because we have the power that's been given to us through Jesus Christ, and because we've been redeemed from all that, it's got to go. So we can't make that happen in our own strength. So what does it matter how bad the thing is? It's not our power anyway. So when we command something to go, we're not relying on ourselves, so it doesn't matter how bad it is. So don't recant, don't doubt because of what it looks like. It's the same thing. God has given us the power. God has told us to do something, so just stick with the word. Stick with the word regardless of what you see, regardless of what you feel, regardless of what the circumstances looks like. Just stick with what he said. Don't doubt. And what we say shall come to pass. We will have whatsoever we say. Or you believe what you receive and you will have whatsoever you prayed for. God has given us the ability. It's just exactly what Jesus said. Don't doubt. Why did you doubt? We have it. It's been given to us. Don't let the enemy steal because he's a liar. Just remember that. He's a liar. So when he tells us to do so, when we hear a voice, why? What? Who said it's not working? Who said? Peter could have said back, what does the size of the waves have to do with it? I can't walk anyway. I'm just going to keep walking. Who cares how big? I'll just walk over the waves then. What's the difference? I have Jesus here. That's the way we have to be. So what? I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care what it looks like. Jesus told me he's with me. I have his presence with me. He told me to do this, so I'm marching on. Yeah, but there's this and that. No, shut up. I'm going on. Yeah, but why don't you look at this? Why don't you look at what you're feeling? Why don't you look at what's going on? Yeah, but God said this, and we just keep going on. Don't doubt. Refuse to doubt. And what we said will come to pass. Let's go to Romans 4:17. Romans 4:17. Let's start in verse 16. It says, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. See, it doesn't matter what it looks like. God himself calls those things which do not exist as though they did. who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, Abraham, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, even though it was old, even though everything should have been telling him, you can't have a child. Look, see, feel. You can't do it. He could have doubted the word of God. But it said he did not consider his own body. It could have been that Peter would not consider the waves. In your situation, you don't consider the obstacles. You only consider what God has said. It says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not consider it. He knew it was there, but he didn't factor it in because he knew what God had said. He did not waver. It's the same thing as doubting. Go and be back and forth. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised God, he was also able to perform. What God had promised, he was able to perform. What he had promised, he's able to perform. Either God's word is true or it's not. So it doesn't matter what's going on, Abraham said. It doesn't matter what my wife, how old she is, the deadness of her womb. It doesn't matter how old I am. God said it. I'm taking that. Yeah, but your wife. I'm not considering that. I'm considering God. Yeah, but look at your body. I'm not considering that. I'm considering God. See, that's what devil will keep throwing this stuff at you. Believe me, I've been there. I know. And none of us has, you know, walks perfectly, but we know, I can tell you, the devil likes to use what's called the pile-up technique. You're trying to go and believe God for something. He does not want you to get to where you're going. He will throw everything in front of you, trying to net you to trip, trying to get you to give it up and say, it's too much trouble, forget it. Forget it, it must not work. It's too hard. It was easier before I tried all this. Forget it. That's right where he wants you to be. He wants you just to say, it's too hard, forget it, and go right back to where you were. And to do without. When it starts, you know. You know. If you are on the right track, a lot of times stuff will get worse. Because he is trying to fight you. I'm not saying it's always like that, but a lot of times stuff is trying to get you to stop where you're believing God, because he knows if you get there and you see the result, that just emboldens you, that the next time it's going to be that much harder to knock you down. No, he's going to tell you something the same, try the same tactics. No, that's what you said last time. I'm not believing that. I'm going forward. Yeah, but shut up. I'm going forward. And then you get that much stronger. And experience brings hope. You expect different things. You expect God's word to work. Amen. We don't have, he's just trying. If you leave with one thing today, it's just don't give it up. Don't doubt. Refuse. And you can't lose. You cannot lose. But so many times we give it up. We say, it didn't work. It's not working. We're going by what we see, by what we feel, by what we hear in our mind, by what somebody else is telling us, instead of just staying on what God said and going forward with him and just discounting anything else, anything that contradicts what he said. Sticking with it all the way. Yeah, but what if this happens? It doesn't matter. See, when you know what God has promised, it doesn't matter. We keep going on until we see it. What if it takes a long time? Doesn't matter. We keep going on until we see it. Well, yeah, but it's been this long. It doesn't matter. We keep going on with God, and we will see what we're believing for. Amen. Hallelujah.